God. If you just look back over what he did for you this week, we can say we serve an amazing God. At the fact that we should have been dead and gone long ago, but God kept us. I thank God that we serve an amazing God. Even in the midst of my triflingness, God still is amazing. Even in the midst of my disobedience, God still is amazing. Even in the midst of the enemy coming against me on all levels, God still is amazing. Come on, bless the Lord. If God has done anything for you that you have a right to give him praise for, come on, bless the Lord. Many people didn't wake up this morning, and the fact that you have breath in your lungs is a reason to praise God. The fact that God has kept you in your mind is a reason to praise God. Come on, give God some praise. That's all right to give praise. He's a good God. He's a keeper. He's a sustainer. He's amazing. I understand a little bit better by and by, Pastor Warner, when my grandmother used to say, you don't know like I know what God has done for me. You don't know what type of trials or what type of tribulations and what type of heartaches that God has brought me through. But he's amazing. He's amazing. And because he's amazing, he will continue to keep us and to sustain us in the midst of everything that's going on. I'm trying to contain myself. God is amazing. In the midst of hurt and pain and death, in the midst of confusion, God is amazing.
He's here.
Let the church say amen. Sometimes you just gotta take some time to give God some praise. When you think back on the goodness of God and all that he's done for you, all you can say is hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. First, giving honor to the presence of God in his place, to his healing power and his sustaining power. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for Jesus this morning. To these awesome ministers, I don't even want to call you a choir. To these awesome ministers of music, I praise God for you. When I came in worship, I had some heaviness on my heart and on my mind. But I thank God for the power of song and how it can minister to us and how it can move us from where we are to where it is that God wants us to be. And so count it not robbery, the preparation. Count it not robbery, the constructive criticism that you're given. Because it's in moments like this where God uses you as vessels to usher in his Holy Spirit. So whether you're an alto, whether you're a tenor, whether you're a soprano, whether you're a bass, whether you're playing the drums, the keyboards, or the strings, know that God is using you in order to usher in his Spirit. And so I'm thankful for each of you and your obedience to God in your ministry. For our time of sharing this morning, I would like you to turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to be reading verses 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. When you get there, can you say amen? If you need a little bit more time, say wait. I will be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And my title is The Model Prayer. And the word of God reads, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, I have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors as we forgive our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. Spirit of living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you will fall fresh on this, your servant. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We pray that in this time of sharing that your word might go forth so that you might be glorified, so the people of God might be edified, and more importantly, that Satan might be horrified. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are now in month number 3 of our focus preaching and our focus teaching. And in the month of July, as you will see in your focus, and I want to give a shout out to our communications ministry, who so faithfully every week continues to give us our focus. And for this particular month in July, we're focusing on spiritual disciplines. And so over the course of the next 3 or 4 Sundays, we're going to focus on a different type of spiritual discipline in our time of sharing. And for today, I want to focus on the spiritual discipline of prayer. Somebody say prayer. And for our time of sharing, I just would like to very simply preach from the subject, prayer works. Touch your neighbor and say, prayer works. Touch your neighbor on the other side and say, prayer works. Now, I'm often surprised, Pastor Warner, as I'm in different settings and I ask people to pray, one of the first things that comes out a lot of people's mouth is, I don't know how to pray. And that's an unfortunate thing because God has given us very clear instructions and very, very clear guidelines that we can use on how we should go about praying. And this passage that we're using today is a very good example of that. And for those of you all who may be in a position where you say, I'm not sure how to pray. You know, I'm not a good public speaker. You know, when I stand up, you know, the words get jumbled up. Or even in your private time and in your private prayer life, you're not really sure about how to approach God. There's an acronym that I want to give you today on how, if you use it moving forward, you will be amazed at how your life and your prayer life especially will be transformed. And the acronym I want to use is the word ACTS. Somebody say ACTS. And using the word ACTS, I'm going to go word by letter by letter and show you within the Lord's Prayer how we can effectively increase our prayer life. And the A in the word ACTS is adoration. Somebody say adoration. The word adoration basically means to give honor to or to praise or to acknowledge the power that one has. And so when we come into our prayer clauses and when we get into the place where we're approaching the throne of grace and where we're seeking God, the first thing we need to do is adoration. And you may say, well, what does adoration look like in my prayer life, Reverend Holden? And I'm so glad that you asked. In the beginning of, or the latter part of verse number 9, and in the beginning of what we know as the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what I'm doing is, even before I start asking God for anything, even before I start running down a laundry list of things I need God for me to do, or what I need God to do, even before I start giving God my complaints about who's getting on my nerves and who's bothering me and who said something about me and who talked about me and who backbited me, I'm going to say, God, I need to acknowledge your power in my life. I'm not worried about what bills need to be paid when I come into prayer. I'm not worried about who has gotten on my nerves. I'm not worried about who looked me over and how they talked about me and how they despised me. God, I want to acknowledge your power in my life. I want to set the groundwork and I want to set the framework so that, God, I acknowledge that I know who you are. Don't get it twisted. God, I know that you have the power to answer whatever it is I'm asking you even before I ask it. God, I know that you are so powerful that you already know what I'm going to ask you even before I come to you. And God, because I acknowledge that and because I know that, I'm going to reverence you in that way. God, I know you're all powerful because there's so many generations and so many examples of how your power has worked. God, I know you're all-knowing because I have been seen through the scriptures and I've seen through the testimonies of my family members how you've set things in order even before I knew that they were coming. God, I know that you're all-present because even in those moments where depression and worry and anxiety came and it tried to take me out, God, I knew that you were there with me. And because I knew that, God, I want to start out by acknowledging that. God, even if you don't answer my prayers, you've already got it. God, even if I can't trust you, God, I know that you're still there. God, even if the situation and circumstances going on in my life has brought me so much pain and has brought me so much heartache and has caused me so much confusion, God, I still know that you have the power to work it out. That's what adoration is. And you will be amazed at when you start out that way how different your prayer is. Because basically what you're doing is you're humbling yourself before an all-knowing and an all-powerful God and saying, God, I bow myself before you. God, I'm not worried about what's going on around me. God, I bow myself before you. God, I acknowledge your power in my life. God, I acknowledge the sovereignty in my life. And God, I trust you to do what you said you're going to do. That's what the word adoration means. And if we can, in our prayer life, just start right there. Before you start telling God anything, acknowledge God's power. Before you start complaining about what's going on in your life, reflect back on where God has brought you from. Before you start talking about who's bothering you and where it, what it is you want God to do for you, focus on the sovereignty of God in your life. And you will be amazed at how your prayer life will change. Our first letter in the word acts is adoration. The second word is confession. Somebody say confess. Now, I don't know about you, but I was the youngest, and I love to confess. Somebody did something to me, you best to believe I was going to my parents, and I'm like, let me tell you what so-and-so did to me. Now, I'm going to tell you what they did to me. I'm not going to tell you what I did. I'm not going to tell you the part that I had to play, but I'm like, this is what happened to me, and I need you to fix it. And so in the latter, in the next part of the prayer we see, it says, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, let me stop right there and set up shop for just a minute. Forgive us our debts. Right? So that means, God, I want you to forgive what I've done. I want you to forgive my shortcomings. I want you to erase away all the wrongs that I've done because I know that you can. But oftentimes, Pastor Warner, what we forget is the next part of that sentence, as we forgive our debtors. I can't come to God and ask him to forgive me when I'm not willing to forgive my sister or brother. It's contradictory to what God is telling us to do. Just like God can forgive you, just like God can wipe away all the sins that you have, just like God can wipe away all the wrongdoings, he does the same thing for your brother and sister. And I know that's hard. Some people be like, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. That person hurt me deep. They talked about me deep, Pastor Warner. They caused me heartache deep. And I can't forget. And that's fine. Forgiveness is a process. I fully acknowledge that. But at the end of the day, the word of God says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You can't have one without doing the other. It's quiet. Woo, it's quiet. In your prayer life, in your spiritual walk with God, begin to forgive people because God has forgiven you. And that's hard. I know it's hard. You've been carrying stuff that your great-grandmother did to your mother that you weren't even here for. You carrying weights that aren't even your responsibility. Begin to forgive people so that you not only help them, but you help yourself. Because truth be told, stress is a silent killer. And part of the reason why a lot of us have high blood pressure, diabetes, we struggle with cancer is because we're taking on issues that do not belong to us. God desires more for us. God requires more of us because he knows where it is that he wants us to go and what it is that he wants us to do. But that's not what I'm preaching about today, so let me move on. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, I know the enemy's hot on my trail. I woke up this morning and foolishness came my way. I turned, opened my cell phone and looked at emails and foolishness came my way. I got in my car and some people caused foolishness when I was trying to get here. I'm trying to get to the house of the Lord and you want to cut me off. I'm trying to get to Bible study and you want to flick me the finger. God, I'm trying to do what it is that you called me to do, but there's so much mess that's happening around me that's constantly causing me to have to come back and go forward. Those are the things that we have to confess to God. Openly confess, because truth be told, God already knows. He knows when you're sitting at night watching that stuff you're not supposed to be watching. He knows when you go to that person's house you're not supposed to be going to. He knows when you're skipping out on a ministry meeting or skipping out on what you're supposed to be doing because you got other stuff to do. God knows. Let me look at the clock so I won't look at nobody. God already knows even before you get where you're going. God knows that hurt and that pain that you're carrying from day to day to day to day to day. God knows that malice that you feel and that anger that you feel when you look at that person and when that person walks into the room. God knows. And he is able to help you if you want him to. There's some hurt and there's some pain and there's some heartache that we're carrying that we really don't have to. God's like, just give it to me. I got you. I got you. That heartache, I got you. That coworker, I got you. That boss, I got you. That neighbor, oh, I got you. That child, I got you. That spouse who's getting on your nerves, let me look at the clock. I got you. But all we have to do is to be able to confess to God what it is that we need from him. So after we do adoration, after we do confession, the last T and probably most importantly is thanksgiving. Somebody say thanksgiving. And the last part of that prayer says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Forever. In 2016, in 2050, in 2027, whatever it is, wherever it is, whatever you're going through, forever. For yours is the kingdom and the power. And so after you give God praise, after you acknowledge the power that God has, after you lay your confessions out before him, the last thing you do is you thank him in advance. God, I don't know how you're going to fix this situation, but I thank you in advance. God, I don't know when the change is going to come, but I'm thanking you in advance. And when you begin to thank God, it puts you in a different mind frame. I'm not necessarily worried about what people say about me because I already know that God's going to work it out. I'm not worried about how the bills are going to be paid because I already know that God is going to work it out. I'm not worried about how God is going to heal my body, whether it be on this side or whether it's going to be on the other side, because I know that God is going to work it out. When you start off your prayer acknowledging God and when you end your prayer thanking God, it's amazing how you will get up and walk away from that prayer experience. I can't acknowledge God in the beginning of my prayer and thank God for how he's going to work it out in the end of my prayer and walk away upset. It just doesn't work like that. I can't walk away irritated or aggravated because I've humbled myself before God. I've acknowledged God's power. I've acknowledged God's sovereignty. And I thank God in advance for what he's going to do. So all I can do is walk away rejoicing. I walk away with a different pep in my step. After I've been in my prayer closet, I walk away with a different encouragement after I've been in my prayer closet. And so from this day forward, if you fall within that category of I don't know how to pray, I just gave you a praying 101 course right here in church. You ain't have to pay for it. Just by the virtue of the fact that you were obedient to the voice of God this morning when he taps you on your shoulder and told you to get up and come to church. You now know how to improve your prayer life. Start off acknowledging God and his sovereignty. Tell God what it is that you need. Don't skirt around it. Well, God, I need something, Jesus. No, God, I need you to come into my job and fix that coworker that's getting on my nerves. I need you to come into my house, Lord God, and fix that child that is out of control. God, I need you to come into my marriage, Lord God, and fix the disagreements that I keep having with my spouse. God, I need you to come into my head and fix those little voices that keep telling me things that I know are not of you. God, I need you to come into my body and begin to work things out and put things back in proper order like I know that you designed them to be. We have to be specific with God. And after we do all that confessing, then we thank God in advance. How different your prayer life would be if you begin to thank God in advance. I know people who prayed for stuff and the manifestation of that didn't come till 10 years later. But that doesn't mean that God is not all powerful. That doesn't mean that God is not all knowing. What that means is that God ordained that thing to come to pass at a specific time And let me also tell you something else. If God ordained something to come to pass, you continuing to talk to him about it is not going to move it along any faster. Let me say that again, because that went over some of y'all's heads. I'll use an example. This is July 3rd. Thank you. So let's say I started praying for something today, and the manifestation of that in the divine order and providence of God is not supposed to happen until August 1st. Right? So that's 27 days from now. You can continue to seek God for it. You can continue to thank God for it. But just know that you continuing to come after God for those 27 days is not going to move the progression of that any faster for you. And I know that's hard for some people to hear. Because sometimes people tell us, well, if we pray, then God will automatically deliver. I don't know where that's written. That's not in any Bible I've read. That's not in any Bible that I have in my possession. But what the Bible does say is that God will work all things out for my good. Not in my timing, but in his timing. And if truth be told, Pastor Warner, I've had to go back to God and say, thank you for not giving it to me when I wanted it. Thank you for not honoring what I was asking you before, God, because when I realized what it was, I was like, no, I'm good. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. God knows where you are. And more importantly, God knows where he's going to take you. And so all you have to do is trust and believe that he's got it. He knows. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you want to be. And all he asks that you do is trust in him. That you give him adoration. That you come confessing to him. And more importantly, that you take an attitude of thankfulness in your prayer life. And so my prayer for you is that your prayer life begin to move to another level. If you're still praying at the same level or at the same intensity that you were when you got saved, you need to step your game up. God is calling you to a different place. God is calling you to be mature. God is calling you to move from where you are to where it is that he wants you to be. God is calling you to do more in him so that he can use you for the upbuilding of his kingdom. And so as we stand to our feet today, you may ask the question, well, Reverend Holt, how do I get there? I hear you. I got the adoration part. I got the confession part. I got the Thanksgiving part. But how do I get to where it is that God, like, what's my first step? And the first step to getting to where God wants you to be is by having a relationship with him. By talking to him on a daily basis, by spending time in prayer, spending time in fasting, spending time in Bible study, which is some of the disciplines that we will talk about as we move throughout the month. Spending time, just like we go to the gym every day and we're in there pressing the weights, you know, we're in there burning off our cardio. We have to do the same thing in our spiritual life. Just like you're cutting back on what you eat and you're doing a diet and you're trying to get yourself physically well, God wants you to get to that same place spiritually. Because there's something greater that God has in store for you. But it's not going to happen unless you start moving forward. It's not about looking back. It's not about looking around what everybody else is doing. God is calling you to a deeper level. God is calling you to a different place. And so if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you to come. Come to get to know a man who loved you so much that he lived 33 years on this earth. People got on his nerves. People talked about him. People asked him to do stuff. But he did it gracefully because he knew what God had called him to do. And then he made the decision to die just for you. They talked about him. They spat on him. They beat him. They made him carry his own cross up Calvary. They nailed him to that cross just for you. The second invitation that we want to extend is for those of you all who may say, Reverend Holt, I got it. I got the relationship. I'm connected. But I don't have a place to call home. The analogy I often like to use is being a Christian without a church home is like an appliance not plugged into the energy source. God knows what you're going through on a week-to-week basis. And just like you go home and plug your cell phone up every night, you need a place to come and plug into every week. where you can get encouraged, where you can get refreshed, where you can get renewed, so that when you go back out into the world and you deal with the darts of the enemy, that you're able to stand and not fall. And the third invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, I've been away from home, but I hear the Spirit of God saying, it's time to come home. You may have thought you were in town for 4th of July, or that you needed to come to church because it was 4th of July. And the Spirit of God is saying to you, my son or my daughter, I'm calling you and I need you to come. So as the choir sings, if you fall within either of those three categories, we invite you to come. Is there one who will come? Is there one who will come? Come to Jesus. He's here for you. He'll make your life brand new. The altar of God is open this morning. Whatever it is that you need to bring before God and confess to Him, we ask that you would come at this time. The altar of God is open. The Bible encourages us to lay all our cares before Him because He cares for us. For those of you all who are coming to the altar, even before I pray, I would encourage you to begin to pray to God. Nobody can tell Jesus about your issues better than you can. We're going to believe and trust God by faith that He is going to hear us. God, we thank you for the power of your word. God, we thank you for the healing and delivering power of your word. God, I come lifting up these who are here at the altar. And God, even those who wanted to come, but for whatever reason could not. God, I pray that you would meet us at our level of need. God, if it's financial, God, help us to be better stewards. God, if it's physical, Lord God, we know that you are a doctor who has never lost a case. God, I pray that you would give wisdom right now. God, that you would begin to speak to your children. God, despite what the doctors might be saying, God, despite what the prognosis might be, God, I pray that you would lead and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. God, I speak healing into bodies right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I speak healing into minds right now in the name of Jesus. God, I come against every spirit of defeat right now in the name of Jesus. God, I cancel out every lie that the enemy has ever told us right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I speak your peace. I speak love, God. I speak deliverance right now, God. God, would you cover these children under the sound of my voice from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet? Let them know that they are yours, Lord God, and that you love them and that you are caring for them. God, we come lifting up the Holland family to you right now, God. God, I pray that you would go to that family wherever they are and comfort them right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the life of Sister Joyce, Lord God. We thank you for the laughs, Lord God. We thank you for the love, Lord God. We thank you for her steadfastness, even in the midst of hurt and pain. God, we know that to be absent in the body is to be present with you. God, we ask that as her church family that we might rally around that family. God, we pray for any other family who may be experiencing bereavement right now, God. We know that in the midst of 4th of July celebrations that it's not a joyous time for everybody. God, I pray that you would be a comforter unto your people. Now, God, as we go from this place, but never from your presence, God, we pray that you would go before us to guide us, behind us to protect us, and more importantly, on each side to hold us up. This we pray in the name of God, and the children of God said, amen, amen, and amen.